All right, we're back, everybody. Episode 71, and we have a special guest. Our friend Jansen Cole is sitting with us. Say hello to the people, Jansen.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah. All right, Jansen, do you want me to do your intro, or do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself or whatever? You know, Jansen's one of our clients, so I'm very happy that he's sitting here, agreed to this punishment in the morning.
I'll introduce myself.
Yeah.
So I'm Jansen Cole. I'm the I run marketing over at a company here in Atlanta called Ardelon.
Yeah.
And we are in the, I guess, sports medicine, orthopedic space.
Yep. That's how I describe it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your flagship, so we've been working with you guys for how long? It's you can tell all my show prep for this. I mean, it's been a number of years. Yeah, since
you predated me there probably by a year.
Okay. And you've been there how long now?
I've been there a little over 5 years. So
okay, wow. All right.
So thanks for you.
Yeah. So we've been rocking together for about 6 years. Yeah. So... and we helped sort of develop a lot of the brand materials, a lot of sort of the rules, regulations, how we sort of display the brand, talk about the brand, and then sent you on your way, right?
You did.
So you guys are one. I like to consider you one of our dangerous clients. And here's what I mean by that. Like, you guys are savvy enough to crack open stuff and do your own things, you know, and you don't need us for every single step. I mean, we have some clients that, like, they can't do anything without us, right? We do every single project, every single everything for them, yeah. Right? But with you guys, I think we have some fun touch points, develop a lot of materials or packaging and whatnot around a certain product, and then send it to you guys, and you guys go and run and do your thing. It's a beautiful partnership, I think. You know?
Yeah.
So should we talk a little bit about what your flagship product is and what you feel comfortable sharing out on the interwebs?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of almost getting a little long in the tooth on our flagship product. We,
okay.
Effectively, when we started, we have a really clever material. It's novel in the orthopedic space because it is it's intended to kind of reinforce when you're doing repairs of tendons and ligaments.
Yeah.
Unique to us is that the product is elastic and it's ultimately replaced by the body over time.
Yeah.
And so that gives us some interesting talking points.
Yeah.
When I first started, when you first started working with us, we essentially had this material. It's super cool, but we'd put it in the hands of a surgeon and go, here, you figure out how to leave it behind. Like, we don't have anything to help you here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we went, over the next 2 to 3 years, it became a big focus for us to develop kind of the tools and the anchors and things to really complete the system. So you could, not only were we providing a pretty, you know, impactful and unique material, but trying to help facilitate the case, the operation in a very efficient and the most effective way.
So, absolutely. And you guys have kind of specialized now in foot and ankle, is that correct?
We have.
Yeah.
You know, philosophically, we make just as much sense in the knee or the shoulder.
But you got to start somewhere, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, you work with small companies all the time, and it's very important that you know where to say no as much as it is important to, you know, where to say yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking about the product. If I was to take that exact same conversation and use it as an analogy for marketing, it's, think about like a billboard, right? You can't say everything to everyone all at once. Like, in an emphasis to try to say too much, you end up saying nothing at all,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when you are a smaller company or a startup, I'm not saying that you guys are right now, but, you know, you got to start the sentence somewhere. You have to start doing something somewhere, right? And so it's, hey, let's pick a part of the body that makes the most sense, right? That has the most applications, and then just start going there, right? So yeah, it can be, I think at one point there was a thumb situation or something.
Yeah.
There are some elbows, there are some knees, you know, but it's like, hey, it makes a lot of sense to start with foot and ankle and start going there. Do we still talk about it? So the product is called FlexBand,
mm-hmm.
right? It is this interesting kind of Terminator material, which I love to say, right? Because it is that interesting confluence of sort of mechanics and biology, right?
Yeah.
Do we still talk about it from that perspective in terms of the, you know, that intersection of biology and technology and then how the product degrades over time? Or
we do. It's been interesting to watch our market mature.
Yeah.
I think when we started this conversation, we understood all that because we nerd out in it.
Yeah.
But the conversation was kind of more than the market needed.
Sure, sure.
And the elastic part was out the gate, like, we like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we've matured and we've done a good job of communicating the value of that feature of the product, the biological piece has been gaining steam. And I would say, you know, kind of real time, the biological piece is is a real quick 1-2 now, where in the past it was like, I mean, if you really want to go there, we can do that.
Yeah.
But we won't bury you in that today
because
we think we can probably present a compelling case without even getting to that.
Well, it's interesting working with companies like you guys because, yes, to your point, you invent something. Oh my God, we got this amazing thing. We created this. It's amazing, right? And you know why you invented it and why it was created. And then you share that with the world and you tell everybody, oh my God, here's the top 10 things why it's awesome. And it's this and this is it, you know. But then you do have to, and this is where patience is key, and expertise and your involvement, right, is you have to be able to understand what the field is adopting to and be able to shift your messaging and your strategies and your marketing according to how it's being adopted and what is really resonating with surgeons, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? To use us as a case study, it's like, hey, we, you know, we're in business for 5 years, right? And we thought we knew what everybody else knew about us, right? And it wasn't until we started getting a couple comments, you know, oh, I didn't know you guys did that, right? From some of our clients. It's like, what? Well, that's all we do for this other client over here. How could they not know that we did this, right? And it was like, all right, stop, full time out for a minute. You know, we're so busy head down, rocking and rolling and doing things. It is important, you know, and even for us, right? We surveyed our own, not doctors, right? But we surveyed our own clients and be like, hey, what do you think about us? You know, we did that. We ran this funny exercise called the Larry Papers and tried to determine what we know what we think we are, but we need to make sure what everybody else out in the world thinks what we are, right? And then that helped sort of evolve us as a company too. Even though, Jansen, none of our services have really changed. I mean, technology's changed, social media. You know, I mean, there's other avenues of marketing and things that we work in, right? From when we started, you know, 15 years ago till now, right? So there's new tactics, but the day-to-day basically hasn't changed. Our philosophy hasn't changed. The way we work hasn't changed, all these different, right? But it was, oh, wait a minute. A few years into this, we need to make sure that what we think we're saying out into the world is actually what the world is thinking of us. And come to find out that absolutely wasn't the case. I mean, I'm you know, brave enough to admit that on a podcast, right? That was like, whoa, wait a minute, right? And so what you think you know, sometimes you don't really know, right? I imagine, you know, developing new technology, it's even harder for new technology, right? Because you have developed a methodology of how to repair your body in a new and different way, right? And sometimes I know surgeon conversions can be difficult because it's like, hey, I've done this a certain way for 10 or 15 years. Why should I, you know what I mean? Like, I know what works, right? And it's, oh no, this one is better. And here's why. Right. So it's interesting to hear you say, I'm just rattling on again. Yeah. You're just nodding your head. I'm doing all the talking. Jansen, you're supposed to be the one doing the talking, but it's prattling on, you know, and then stopping and then realizing, okay, wait a minute. We've been selling it this way. Or not selling it, but we've been talking about ourselves this way. But then you got to evolve and change that message based on how the market is reacting.
Yeah, that certainly happened with us. It's still happening right now.
I just went on like a 10-minute soliloquy there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, man. It was all truth.
Yeah.
We've lived through that. We currently live through that. And like you, it in the world of marketing in my my space, it's I think the older I get, the more I realize how comfortable I have to be walking into my insecurities and asking the questions maybe I don't want to know the answers to.
And self-reflective.
Arlon has gone through that, continues to go through that. But every time I do it, you gain insights to yourself.
Yeah, totally.
That you didn't, you know, certainly the message, but even you.
Like, yeah.
You start to realize, man, I'm so biased in this tactic or this type of talk.
That's interesting.
And frankly, it's part of why I've intentionally tried to keep relationships with people like you who are not in my world every day, but are wildly creative.
Yeah.
Because I can get one inspiration, but two, I can get real feedback from a real human being who's not in my know, echo chamber.
Yeah. Outside feedback.
And I think that I have gained a lot from friends like you.
Yeah.
Even in simple conversations that you don't even realize I take home and like have made big changes in the way I think about.
I'm having significant impact in people's lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. Well, here's what's awesome to hear you say, though, is, and I'm having a love fest moment right now, honestly, because When we do onboard new clients or when we have new business conversations with potential new clients, right? One of the things I do, this sounds like a commercial for me, but one of the things I do is I purposely mention the fact that we do work in multiple industries, right? We work in medical orthopedic. We also work in food and beverage and things that are in the grocery store. We work in higher education. We work in commercial construction, right? And I always tell people, hey, why am I telling you this? It's because I think it's important that you know that we have varieties of the spice and we're learning a lot of different things from a lot of different industries. And it's a twofold benefit for clients, I think. One, you never know where you may have leveraged learnings from another industry that can be applied to your industry, right? Because consumers are consumers, right? Or B2B and, you know, things like that, right? And then number two is from just a sheer creative perspective, we are not only working in one industry that therefore it's not, to your point, which you totally picked up on, it's not homogenized and you're not in that echo chamber. We don't only work in, you know, medical orthopedic stuff and only show old people doing yoga and riding bicycles on the beach, right?
You know, well, I think that honestly, that's where...
So it's awesome to hear you say that. It's like, I say that all the time, but now I've got a client actually reinforcing one of the benefits of why working with us.
Well, it's 100%. I mean, I will be, and I will indict myself. I mean, for those of you that are not in medical device and you just kind of are marketing people, I would tell you that there's very... medical device marketing is not very progressive.
Not, I was about to interrupt you and say, choose your words carefully, my friend. You know,
it's not very progressive.
Yeah.
And so it's often very sterile. It's very predictable. And there are reasons for that.
Yeah, but, for sure. Making claims, things like that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean,
but the backside of it is if left just at that, it's not only very the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
But frankly, if you're going to make a profession, it's not very fun.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, working with you, I look in every other industry around me and go, man, there's so many exciting and cool and creative
things happening
out here and there.
Yeah.
And trying to bring some of that little pieces.
Yeah. Why can't we do that here?
Our model.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, like I'm by no means the greatest one out there at it, but I look for people who are the best at it, and that's why I'm here.
Oh my God, like we're feeling love.
Yeah, no, it's
thanks, man. I appreciate that. No, well, it's not about being radically crazy, right? It's not like, oh, we took Nike's marketing plan and put it into orthopedic space, you know. But I shared an example on a previous podcast about another device company that did a non-rotational suture device, right? And the line we wrote on a T-shirt was "Don't screw yourself,"
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so it's. You know, is that the wildest, craziest idea? No. You know, but in that space and in that category, it has meaning and relevance, and it does have that irreverence that you are being a little left of center, a little right of center, a little, you know what I mean? You're just not doing what everybody else is doing, right? And that funny little humor tied in about, hey, yeah, we don't have a screw. You know, it's a different methodology of how to reattach ligaments and whatnot. So it's kind of fun, you know?
Well, and I think you, especially when you're little, small startup, even in the early growth phase, you
take more risks.
Well, people are making decisions on you initially because of the people in the building.
Mm,
so when I had the opportunity, I wanted to, even on our marketing, share a little bit about like, this is what we would be like to have at dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you spend time with myself or Aaron or Mark or, you know, Shape, the people that are on our team, you're going to find us, you know, funny, casual, maybe a little self-depreciating.
Yeah.
We intend to be also well buttoned up from a understanding and a science standpoint. So if you kind of see what we attempt to do with our ads and marketing and that sort of stuff, that's the flavor that I've intended to put out. Now, as you grow, you lose the ability to make your brand as authentically relatable as you can when you're small.
Sure, sure.
But we still have that luxury right now. We're probably getting close to where that's going to outgrow us a little bit.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important. What I'm taking away from this is that tone of voice, but personality of the brand is important.
Absolutely.
You know? And that can be a differentiator. It's not, oh, we're just another, you know, once you get to Johnson & Johnson and Smith & Nephew and these gigantic, you know, the other giant, like they're gigantic corporations. And that's not knocking those corporations, right? But it's, hey, how do you position yourself in the marketplace initially? You know, tone of voice and attitude does matter, you know? Even if it's not brash and obnoxious, it's not trying to be the, you know, zany just for zany's sake, you know, mm-hmm. right? But it's, hey, to have a little attention thrown your way. You know what I mean? Oh, let's check out what those guys are doing. That's pretty cool, you know? What do you think is one of the biggest challenges of marketing in the medical orthopedic space? I mean, is it the dryness, or is it people are stuck in their ways, adoption of new materials, or, you know, what do you think?
I would say something that's unique to medical device is you have multiple customers you have to get to commit to make a decision. So okay. 10 years ago, if a surgeon liked your product, if a physician liked your product,
you're in.
He could really drive it home.
Yeah.
Today, it is a local hospital, which is usually part of a regional or national chain.
Sure.
So you have both of those
yeah.
stakeholders that have to go, okay, this fits with our business model.
Yeah.
That's usually driven by a surgeon going, I would like to have this
yeah.
option
yeah.
available. And then more and more, the patient voice is starting
yeah.
to rise as
I'm happy
as
to hear you
influence.
Say that. Yeah.
And so as a marketer, each one of those stakeholders is looking for very different reasons to make a decision.
Yeah.
And so, and this may be some naivety to other industries, but it feels like in a lot of industries, your point of transaction is fairly centralized.
Sure.
I feel like ours is getting more and more decentralized.
It's surgeons want it because it's better outcomes or easier procedure or faster procedure or whatever. Procurement's always going to say, what does it cost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you're going to have, is it reimbursable by right. XYZ insurance or Medicare, Medicaid, things like that, you know? It's interesting to hear you bring up patients. I would say in my experience, and I, you know, again, feel free to jump on this, but in my experience, like 15 years ago, no patient knew what was going in their body. Meaning like nobody knew if they were putting a Nike, a Puma, an Adidas, anything, whatever device inside their body. It, you know, you had no clue who made your hip implant, your knee replacement yeah. or your Artelon device, right? 15 years ago, it was, all you cared about was what is the surgery? You trust your doctor, right? So it was like, hey, what when you cut me open, what's going to happen? And then what's the recovery time?
Mm-hmm.
That whole middle part, which is what what you guys do and build and everything, right? No, like it boggled my mind that nobody knew what those things were. You know, like, oh, I'm having spinal fusion, but I don't know who makes the, you know, right? I mean, it's so strange. But over the course of 15 years, and I think this is actually a benefit to the internet and to digital marketing and things like that, right, is patients are more savvy than ever in understanding the you know, the bioscience, right, that is being put into their body and what they can expect from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes.
I think
the average patient is much more educated
yeah.
on, one, what their diagnosis is
yeah,
and
for
what
sure.
that means. But yeah. then they...
Although my doctor always says, stay away from Dr. Google.
Right.
Because all roads lead to death, right? I mean, you look at you're like, I got a hangnail. What's going on, you know? And then it's like, oh, you may get an infection. WebMD says I may die in 6 weeks.
Yes.
You know? So, I mean, we're laughing. It's not a joke. You know, but like, there is definitely some truth to like, mm-hmm. folks out there, do not diagnose yourself from Dr. Google, you know?
Everybody comes in with some information,
yeah.
which I think in the past it was more like,
no,
I'm just here. You tell
yeah.
me what I need to do.
That's a great point, actually.
It may be good, it may be bad, but
yeah.
There is information that's available. And I think where it kind of moves back to marketing and where things have started to shift is some of the more progressive companies, you get a technology out there, you promote it well to patients,
yeah.
Often through social, and then you create some sort of link from the patient visibility to... Here's where you can find a doctor in
yeah.
your area that uses this technology.
Absolutely.
And then when you start to see those practices get people show up, go, I'm
yeah.
here because I saw this.
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
patients are starting to drive decision making.
Yeah. We were just talking about the I want my MTV
yes.
marketing strategy, right? I mean, that ground up, that pull through, right?
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, that's... But that never I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years, that never happened,
no.
right? I mean, so it is really interesting how the kind of the democratization of marketing goes not only from hospitals, but to surgeons, you know, and doctors and whatnot, practices, but then also to patients.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Cool stuff, man. It's a good challenge. Well, can you believe it? It's already been like 20 minutes. These go quick, don't they?
They're great, man.
Yeah, man. Super fun. I mean, thanks for coming on.
For sure.
You should definitely come back again.
We'll do it.
All right. I always like to ask everybody this just because it's fun. favorite brand, like ad or design? Doesn't have to be medical related, just anything, just as a person, you know. I always like to sort of get people's temperature checks on what brands they love, or if there's been a recent campaign or a classic campaign or any design, whatever, you know what I mean? Just
as a school of thought, I mean, I'll go very, you know, predictable. Nike has always been.
I thought you were going to go Apple. Going to go, oh, Apple, you know. Okay, Nike. You like Nike?
I like Nike. I like Nike because they rarely feature a product. They feature an aspiration and a feel.
It's the spirit of competition is what they sell.
But more recent, I have been utterly fascinated by Liquid Death.
Liquid Death. We did a podcast about Liquid Death, actually.
How they have taken an absolute commodity.
Yeah, water.
And turned it into something that it's a must-have, and it gets buzz, and people. The fact you and I know,
what their Liquid
name
Death is,
in a space that's got 1,000 competitors, and it's water.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that Fiji's marketing campaign and design is like diametrically opposed to Liquid Death, right? But they both do exactly the same thing. They sell water, right? So, I mean, you know, and again, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but, you know, it begs the question, is there a solitary product? Is there any product out there, right, that has literally 180 degree difference on one company's approach versus another company's approach? You know, I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but it's fascinating, right, that it's that Liquid Death is the name of, like, it's crazy, you know? And you can argue why it's great and why it's bad, you know? But I love that you picked up on that. I love that you mentioned Liquid Death.
It's fun. It gives me hope. I mean, because no matter what your widget is, if those guys can make cans of water exciting and interesting to the rest of us, then the only boundaries are what, you know, how clever you are and how much fun you want to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Liquid Death. All right, cool. All right, where can everybody find you if they want to find you?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on LinkedIn.
Okay. Jansen Cole.
Jansen Cole on LinkedIn.
Nice. Ardalon.
Ardalon is there as well.
Cool.
We're also on Instagram and Twitter. So.
Cool. All right. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. You can find us at mocktheagency.com and on the socials at mocktheagency. And we will chat with you next time. Thanks, Jansen.
Thanks,
super
Tom.
Fun.
The podcast.